Okay, we're going to start the Mishnah, Ayin Ches Amid Beis, 78, B2, the middle of the page. The Mishnah, middle of the page, 156. Okay, the Mishnah says like this, Ayin B'nizah Mamzer, this Mishnah we learned. If somebody says, my kid's a Mamzer, Ayin Anabman, we don't believe him. Afilu Shnei made him, even if both parents agree. Al Urba Shebemei Imei, that the kid, the fetus in the mother's stomach, the father and the mother both say mamzer hu. Okay, we don't ainam namonim, they're not believed. And we'll see in the Gemara why. Rabbi Yehuda says namonim. In both cases, the father is believed. Rabbi Yehuda holds the father is believed to say his kid's a mamzer. So therefore, unlike the Tanakhama says, if a father says my kid's a mamzer, we don't believe him. Rabbi Yehuda says we do believe him. Then the second case in the Mishnah, there's a fetus. It's not even born yet. I'm going to explain the difference. And both parents say the kids are mamzer, we don't believe him. Rabbi Yehuda says we do believe him. The father, not the mother.
What's the benefit of saying such a thing? That my kid is a mamzer. It must be a benefit or something. That otherwise, what kind
he's
of case?
He's in the fight with his kid before he's born. No, he's a religious Jew. He wants his kid to marry somebody else. I don't know. Rashi says, why isn't the father believed according to the first opinion? According to the Chachamim. Because he's testifying on a relative. He's testifying his son as a mamzer. He's not believed to testify on a relative. Right? You can't say Edus on a relative. But Rabbi Yehuda says he's not is believed, and the Gemara will explain why. Okay, so the Gemara says, what does it mean, afilu shneim? At the end of the Mishnah it says that even if both parents say the kid's a mamzer, we don't believe him. So the Gemara says, my afilu shneim, what does it mean even if both? So it says, lay me boy come, it means not only. Loimi boy ihu, not only the father. The lekimle, where the father is not sure the kid's a mamzer. Nevertheless, he's not believed. Ala filo I, even the mother. The kimle, that she would know for sure if the kid's a mamzer or not. Le mehemda, she's still not believed. The Mishnah says this. It's more logical to say the mother is believed than the father. Because the mother knows who she was with. The father can dream.
And the mother gave birth to them.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So the mother would know for sure who made her pregnant. So he said, but lay me boy, not only hechadi is the chazaka the kashas. If the kid's already born, so the kid before the father said he's a mamzer, we assume he's a kosher kid, the lay mehem is not believed. A filu uber nami, even a fetus, that lesi chazaka the kashas that wasn't born yet. And therefore, there's no established fact that the kid's kosher, lay mehem, we still don't believe him. Okay? In other words, not only is the father not believed, even the mother is not believed. Not only if a kid's born already where there's a chazaka that the kid's Jewish, but even in a case where the kid wasn't even born yet, there's not even an established fact that the kid's kosher, because the kid's not born yet, so nevertheless we don't believe him. But Rabbi Yehuda says, Namanim, the father is believed. Okay? Now, the Gemara explains,
if the father is not the father, then he's not a relative anymore.
No, he's the father.
If the father is not the one who conceived the baby, he's not a relative anymore.
No, the father says, I'm the father, but it was through a woman that they wouldn't be allowed to marry. Mm-hmm. The father comes along and says, not the second case when they both speak about the fetus. The first case, the father comes along, he has a kid, father walking in the street with his kid to shul. The father turns around to somebody and says, this kid's mine, he's a mamzer. I mean, not because he acts like one, he's saying that he's a mamzer. Okay? So he's still a father. If you give birth to a mamzer, it's still your kid. The Gemara says, even mekayim the mitzvah pruor vu. You have a mitzvah of having children. If you give birth to a mamzer, you still did a mitzvah pruor vu. Because it's a Jewish kid.
The father knows that he didn't sleep with his wife. He's not his kid. And after he's born, he says, this is
no, but the father's speaking, this kid of mine, I know it's my kid, and it was born with somebody that I wouldn't be allowed to marry.
So a Jewish man fulfills this approval even for his son.
Yeah.
But he's not a Jewish kid, is he?
Yeah, mom's a fulfilled Jew.
Was it that he
just can't marry a Jewish girl. The Mishnah says a mamzer who's a Talmud Chacham has precedence over a Kohen Gadol who's an illiterate. Mamzer Talmud Chacham, Kedem, Kohen Gadol, like normally by Elias, right? So nowadays we give kohen regardless. But in time of the Gemara, if there was a scholar, there was a bigger scholar than a kohen, he went first for the aliyah, not the kohen. So the Mishnah says, even a mamzer who's a scholar has precedence over a kohen gadol as an amoritz. But today we don't do it because we don't understand who's measuring the scholarship level. Well,
so
one second.
He can't marry a Jewish girl and he can't marry a goy either.
Correct.
So you have to put that in the paper, I'm looking for a bastard.
Yeah. A mamzer that can't have kids.
Facebook,
yeah. They should have the mamzer Facebook. The moms
are
blocked.
How many you think of moms are out there today?
Too many. Okay, where it says, Rabbi Yehuda min amanim. Rabbi Yehuda says the father is believed. By the way, not the mother, only the father is believed. Where it says why? Kiritanya, it says in the Braise, Yaakir, ki ben, in this week's parsha, ki is a chor ben asnua Yaakir, lost Yaakir, what does it mean Yaakir? He should Yaakira no lachedim, he can identify him to others. The Torah says the father is believed to identify his son to others, meaning, Mikan Amir Rabbi Yehuda, from here Rabbi Yehuda says, Nem an Adam Lamer. A father is believed to say, Zeb Bini Bechor, this is my firstborn son. Right? A guy comes with a family, yeah? And the father says, this kid's a Bechor. We believe him? Rabbi Yehuda says, you believe him. Because the Torah says, Yakir, you should make him noticeable to others. The same way a person is believed to say, my son's firstborn, he's also believed to say, this is the son of divorcee, or is the son of chalutza, meaning he's also lukayim. But the chachamim say in the Braise, ain't a naman. He's not believed. Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda learns out from the pasuk Yakir, but by the way, the pasuk only says the father. Right? Because Ben Asnu Yakir is the father. The father is believed to identify who his son is. Whether he's kosher, treif, mamzer, b'chor, not a b'chor, whatever.
It's a cold chicken to the wife.
No.
Why?
Because it's exercer kosher. One second. Amalei Rav Yehuda Bar Yitzchok L'Rava, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok said to Rava, Bishleim L'Rav Yehuda, Hainu D'Chsev Yakir. According to Rav Yehuda, I know why the Torah says the word Yakir. Because Yakir is teaching us that he's believed to identify the kid. El Rabbanan that hold the father is not believed. Yakir Lamali, why does the Torah use the word Yakir? What is the purpose? It's an extra word. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it teaches us that a father is believed to identify his kid. But according to the Chumash, why? So Gemara says it's speaking Bitzara Chakedo, when the kid needs identification. Meaning, what does that mean? The Chumash like this. Rashi explains. What happens if a man and woman got married, they travel overseas? Okay? And they come back with kids. Is the father believed to say, these are my kids? Yeah. How do you know? So that's what the word Yakir teaches us. Not to passel him, not to make him a Koyen, Ben Chulutza, Ben or a Mamzer. He's believed, if there's nothing against it, to say that the kids are my children. Mele, they, you know, who they can marry. So Gemara says, my hilchase, what difference does it make that the father is believed? Gemara says, losses lepi shnai, that he gets double, you know, as a b'chor, he gets double. So Gemara says, pshita lamili kro, of course, how else would you know that the kids are b'chor if the father doesn't say it? So he says, mi goy, di boy, meisiv leil matona, I would think, that since the father can give him as a present, The Gemara says, why do I need a pasuk to tell me a father is believed to say this kid's a b'chor? Of course he's believed.
Yeah, what is the migul
here? See, it sounds like this. Because I would, this is part of the question. Of course the father is believed. Because let me ask you a question. Can a father give a gift to his son whatever he wants? Mm-hmm. He could, before he dies. If the father wanted to give him more, he could just give him more. So it's a concept of me going, you have to believe him, because if he wanted to do it, he could have done something better. He could have given the kid double portion when he was alive.
14.
Right. So the Gemara asks, why do I need a pasuk yakir? To tell me that the father is believed to say the kid's a b'chor, the father should be believed just because of what's called a migui. Because if he's a liar, he could have done something better. He could have given the kid whatever he wants. So the Gemara says no. It's speaking menachasim shenaflu la'achir mikan. It's speaking properties that the father got after he identified the firstborn. Meaning, because when the father said this kid was a b'chor, did he have those properties yet? He didn't have them. That's the case. He got them later. He didn't have them. So then he can't give that as a gift if he doesn't own it. Mm-hmm. So I need a pasuk to tell me, for the properties that the father got after he said this kid's a b'chor, that we trust the father that he's a b'chor, that he gets double even of those later properties.
Why is it so important Torah has to write that word that he want to give it to his son?
Can a relative testify on a relative?
No.
Okay, why is the father believed to say he's a b'chor? Why? He's a relative. For that matter, it's the same question. The Torah says, we learned before in the Gemara, a father is believed to say, I married off my daughter, who is a ketana, to this and this guy. Right? How is he believed? He's a witness. He's testifying on his daughter. It's a relative. He can't testify. A father can't be one of the 80 Kedushin. He's a relative. Right? Father can't be a witness under the chuppah for his kid. So it's exerts the kosuv that for certain things, the Torah trusts the father not as a witness, but we give him the authority to make a decision. Why? Because in these two cases, we find an interesting thing. The father has ability to marry off his daughter whoever he wants. So because he could do it, we believe him when he says he did it. Because he could do it right now. But...
Right. I find it interesting that in the Mishnah... We're talking about a mamzer, but here we're talking about a bechor.
Same thing. The Gemara is likening the same thing. You either believe the father who his kid is, or not. Right? If you believe the father that he's a bechor, then you believe him that he's a mamzer.
But one is for his praise, one is a ganai, isn't it?
Doesn't matter. He's still believed. Yeah.
So what difference does it make if a son is the firstborn, either now or later, whatever nechosim are belonging to him, regardless?
No, but the Gemara said, the Gemara's question was, I don't need a pasik, because let him just give him the property. But he can't give him the property because he doesn't have it yet.
But when it comes into his hand, if he's not dead, automatically the boy is going to get it.
Why? Because the father testified that he's a b'chor. Before he got the property. Before he got the property.
But we don't need a pasuk for that. If the father said, okay, this child was born to me as a bechor now, he's 2 years old, automatically anything after or before belongs to him.
Why?
Because the Torah says it.
Yeah, but who believes the father that the kid's a bechor? The pasuk Yakir teaches us the father's taka believed. The Gemara says, why do I need the pasuk? If the father already has the property, he can just give whatever he wants. Right? There's a migui. But the property he doesn't own yet, he can't give him.
He can't give it double. Oh, no.
He can give whatever he wants as a gift.
Yeah.
But the Gemara asks, the problem is like this. Oh, that I may, and according to that I may, that says, oh, the makna davish lebalem, that you could sell something that doesn't exist yet. Yakir lamali. Why do I need Yaakov? The father anyway could give it to him even though he doesn't own it yet. But he's eventually going to own it. So even though he doesn't own it yet, he can still give it to him. So Gemara says no. He says, Shenaflug Shugasis. The father got it when he was about to die. Okay, even a mayor would agree at that time he can't do it either. He can't do it. Even that mayor would hold you can't do it because a mayor that says, the properties that I get of a geisis is le'am klum, because when you're a geisis, your brain's not working.
Oh,
a geisis is a person that actually started the dying process. Not death leal. Geisis is when the dying process starts.
So, Dover Shilobo alone is in effect. I mean, how does it work here?
But
if he's gosas, he's about to die, and he has not said that he's my bechor.
Rav Meir holds you only believed for something that you don't own yet, if at the time you say it, you have the ability to give it to him. A geisus, his mind is not working, he doesn't have the authority to give something.
So what happened? So we need a pasuk for that?
That Yaakov teaches us that the fact that the father a month ago said the kids are b'chor, he was going to get double. By the way, the Gemara is not talking about properties that come to the father after death, that the b'chor doesn't get double.
He just said he does.
No. He got the property before he died. Saying property that comes to the father, investments that come to the father. It's a Rashi in this week's Parsha. Only properties that have a loy min aroy love. The Gemara learns out in Bava
Basra. Then it goes to the estate.
It goes to the estate, then everybody is equal. Let's say the father has investments, yeah, that the investments come in later. Then the Bukhar doesn't get double because it wasn't there at the time the father died. Yeah, the aloch is not like a Rameh though. You can't be makna davar shel ba'al olam. Okay, next Mishnah. This is a typical crazy case. A father sends his a shliach to go find a shidduch for his daughter. Yeah, but we didn't finish the case. And the father went ahead and did kedusha with her for with somebody else. Avram sends Eliezer to find a shidduch for his daughter Rivka, not son Yitzchak, his daughter. Avram has a daughter Rivka. Yeah, Avram sends Eliezer. He said, "Call Eliezer." He said, "Eliezer, do me a favor. Go find a guy to do kedushin for my daughter." Meanwhile, Avram himself went and did kedushin with his daughter with somebody else. He sent the shliach to go do it, and he went himself and did. He found a nice guy. He said, "Oh, forget the shliach. You're gonna, do the kedushin." So now, who is she mekudeshes to?
That's a good question.
That's what the Mishnah is going to answer. The Mishnah says, "Im shalei kadmai, if the father's kedushin was first, kedushin, then the father's kedushin is good. V'im shal shluchei kadmai, if the shliach's kedushin was good, kedushin, then the shliach's kedushin is good." The Mishnah says, "Very simple halacha: the first guy that did the kedushin, because the shliach acted on behalf of Avram, right?" But so if Avram found the guy before Eliezer did, then Avram's kedushin for the girl is good. If Eliezer's was first, it's Eliezer. What happens? Ain't a yadaya. Vim ain't a yadua. One second. Shneim neistim get. But now we don't know what the story is. There's Reuven and Shimon. Avram did kedushin for Rivka with Reuven. Eliezer did kedushin for Rivka with Shimon. Right? We don't know which kedushin was first, which is very probable. He didn't text the mazel tov. So we don't know. So the din is like this. Either both give a get if she wants to marry a third guy, or echad neisin get ve'echad kainis. One of the two, if they want, one of the two can give a get, and the other one can marry her.
Kohenes?
If he's not a kohen.
She can't marry a kohen then.
Right.
Do you have a similar case in Gittin?
Yeah.
I guess the Mishnah's question, but you mentioned the Mishnah and it says that they didn't have phones and stuff like that. But how would they know who went first?
No, see if the guy comes back and says, "I did the Kedushin Tuesday," and Avram says, "No, I did it Wednesday." So Tuesday is before Wednesday. Okay. But if we don't know, so you have two options. Either, if she wants to marry not Reuven, not Shimon, she wants to marry somebody else, both need to give her a get, b'safik, right? Because we don't know who she married to. Or if one, Reuven, wants to marry her, Shimon could write her a get, and then Reuven can marry her. Or if Shimon wants to marry her, Reuven could write her a get, and then she'll marry Shimon. What's wrong?
So Kohenes means to enter.
What?
Kohenes is to enter.
Kohenes is to marry her.
To
to enter her too.
Kin means to marry. That's the expression in the Gemara. Now, this is from the man's side. What happens if a woman made a shliach to accept her kedushin? And again, she sends a shliach, same case in reverse. The woman sends Eliezer to get a shidda for her. She doesn't say with whom. So any guy you feel fit. And then she herself went and did kedushin with somebody else. So now the question, which kedushin is first? Right? If her acceptance is first, she's mekudeshes to that guy. If the other guy, the shliach's acceptance of the kedushin is first, she's mekudeshes to the other guy. So he said, im shalach kadmei, kedusha and kedushin. If she hers was first, her kedushin is valid. Vim shal shlucha kadmei, kedushim kedushin. Vimeinim yedim, whatever we don't know, the same din. Either shneim neistim lo get, either both can divorce it that she should marry a third person, or ratze echad neistim levi get vechad kainis. If you want, one guy writes her a get, then the other guy marries her. Okay? So the Mishnah is saying the same din twice. L'chayil, one din we can understand from the next. So the Gemara is going to ask right away, why do we need both cases? It's obvious it's the same din. If this kedushin is first, it's good. If this kedushin is good, it's first. If you don't know, they either both write a get, or they one marries her and one writes a get.
One is the Isha.
What's the difference?
Isha has precedent. She's not in the second hand. She's lechatchila. In a sense,
the father is first time with the daughter.
But her goof is still takes precedence, doesn't it?
No. And the Gemara is going to say, you'll see a big chiddush in what I was going to say. Women are questionable when they do their own shidduchim. They might not know what they're doing.
No, same as equal.
That's what the Gemara says.
Couldn't Mishnah write the kisur so to the Isha? It has to go through everything? The Mishnah usually is short, right?
This is no? Short, what would you write?
So to the same case by Isha, something in Hebrew.
V'chem Isha.
Yeah, something like
that. That's what Gemara asks. Why is Gemara going through the whole Megillah?
Why does it say the Isha herself? Why doesn't it say the father of the girl?
Because a ketana cannot make a shliach to accept kedushin for her.
Oh, this is.
It has to be an adult girl. A girl under bas mitzvah, only the father can do kedushin. She can't even accept her own.
In the case where the man has sent out the shliach and he himself makes a kedushin to somebody, he's got within his power to give a get to whomever he wants. I mean, if that's marry whoever he wants, right?
Right.
But then the reverse case, it's not. I mean, you're talking about a woman who sends out a shliach.
No, Bezdin's going to make them do it.
Bezdin is going to make them do it.
Yeah, if each guy says, I don't want to give a get.
Yeah.
I want to marry her. Bezdin is going to force one of them to give a get. Kefinasi. Because, hey. What in the case of the woman, if both guys say, I'm not giving a get, what do you do?
What do you do?
Bezdin beats him up until either one or both.
Always the guys get beaten up.
Yeah, the guys always get beaten up. But it's interesting, it has to be a Jewish forcing. If a guy forces a Jew to give a get, it's not valid.
So you cannot, they cannot, the Beit Din cannot hire a guy to do it?
Beit Din can do it, but a secular court can force you to give a get. If you do it, it's a very big question. Remember there was the get law in New York many years ago? That they wanted to have the secular courts force a husband to give a get if he refuses?
Mm-hmm.
It was called the get law. It was a big controversy about an halacha because al pidin, get mu'usai de akum, a get which was forced through goyim is not a valid get. Only if it's a get forced by Eden. So if you can have the government forcing you to give a get, it's not going to be valid anyway.
So what happened to that law?
Like all the other laws. They died.
So it doesn't have to do with who actually executes the law. It has to be
who's forcing it.
For enforcing even by the imposition of a penalty?
Beating him up, penalty, yeah.
Doesn't matter how.
Right. The prenuptials that they do today, you know, the RCA Besdin and a bunch of more, it's interesting, it's more so the modern Orthodox.
What is prenuptial? What do you mean by that?
People today are afraid because a lot of women end up remaining agunas, the husband refuses to give a get. The woman remains an aguna, right?
Or the other way
around? No, the other way around. They'll give a head to Meir Abanim, that the husband should marry, take a second wife. But a woman can't have two husbands, right? So, today they make a prenup that if it's decided in the prenup that the both sides sign, yeah, that in case there's a get, and a Besdin, it's a legal document, by the way, and a Besdin sees fit that the person needs a get, so they give him a fine, usually it's like $150 a day, that the courts enforce. A second, because it's a legal document, a binding arbitration. So the courts enforce a fine like $150 a day, or whatever it is, until he gives the get. So they're not forcing you to give a get, they're forcing a monetary fine. And that they could do. So officially, that's supposed to stop the guy, because he's going to have to pay $150, $1,000 a week. You know, it's a lot of money.
So if a secular court makes a man pay like alimony and stuff?
No, that's nothing. That's not the problem. It's only the actual giving of the get.
It's only the get.
Yeah.
This is okay or not okay?
Halachically, it's okay. In the very firm circles, they usually don't do it. Not yet. Why don't they do it?
Did you see that?
Depends who you ask.
2 weeks ago,
some people, because it's not traditional. And secondly, it's like it's strange. You're not even married yet. You're already talking about a get. You know, it's just.
Yeah, that's more
2 weeks ago, the paper they had to argue about that.
What about the ksuba itself? I mean, you can say the same thing.
The ksuba is in case of the ksuba. Not only no, ksuba number one is in case of death or divorce.
Okay.
And the ksuba is not only that. The ksuba, even the non-written part of the ksuba, is the financial responsibilities of a husband to a wife to feed her and clothe her and heal her. The ksuba is not only when you die or you give a get, that's the minimal part of the ksuba.
Okay.
The main part of the ksuba, even though it's not actually written so much in the ksuba, is the financial, the monetary, financial responsibilities of a husband to a wife of feeding her, clothing her, healing her.
That's a midoraita.
Yeah. But so that's what the ksuba is.
Why do we have to write it down? That's always I was wondering. Why do we have to write it down in ksuba? If it's a part of the Torah. The Torah says we don't write down, somebody has to put the tefillin on.
Because this is monetary. Monetary things you write.
Well, Peshinayim, we write.
How do you know the girl says I'm married to this guy?
What? We have a rabbi, we have a Eidim.
The Eidim all died. How do you know that this guy married this guy? A woman comes with a ksuba to Besdin, yeah? You have to think like a Jew when it comes to money. You have to think like a Jew. A woman comes to Besdin, says, my husband died, I want the ksuba from the estate, yeah?
Okay, ksuba.
But she has nothing written.
Well, I'm telling you, share a ksuba or not.
I understand.
But that's before when they are married.
Right. Now, the wife comes and says, okay, I am married to, he comes from out of town. I'm married to this guy and he's not supporting me. Yeah? Besdin calls in the husband and says, why don't you sue? He says, who's that? I don't know who this person is. How do you know it's his wife? We're talking about money now. How do you know? You have the burden of proof is on the woman to extract money. The man says, prove it to me that I'm your husband.
So why didn't Torah think of that?
Torah thought of that.
Kesuva is a midoraita.
Suba v'psul is a midoraita. The chos v'lchim midoraita. Chos v'lchim midoraita. So it's a financial statement. Financial statement. You need proof.
What about this, that right before some people, like, this money belonged to me, whatever, if it divorced, you know, they separated. This is good or not good?
That's not a prenuptial in this respect. That's a secular. Yeah, a rich guy marries a girl, especially if it's second or third or fourth or fifth marriage. And they're afraid they're only there for the money. Both ways, sometimes the woman has a lot of... So they set up that any money that I owned before this marriage is not part of the settlement.
This is okay?
It's a financial thing, but who cares? It's not halachic binding. I mean, it's binding halachically because it's a document. But I'm saying, b'chlal, I mean, any financial settlement people want to make, it's fine.
Moach before love.
Yeah.
Why is it recognized as a secular document? It's a secular, I mean, like...
Because dinah machus dinah. The law of the government is the law. So as long as it doesn't contradict Torah, why not?
Oh, dinah machus dinah only applies if it doesn't contradict the Torah law?
If dinah machus dinah says you can't put on tefillin.
Not tefillin, I'm talking monetary. I'm talking, it's that monetary.
In Chayshim Mishpat, in many, many places in Chayshim Mishpat, okay, at the end of Dinim it says, this din is applying when you're going only based on Torah. But in places where you have government law, Dinim Achus Adina.
So it doesn't apply.
Correct.
So
unless if both sides want to go Dafka by Torah.
So Dinim Achus Adina always could override.
In financial matters.
It could override.
Yes. Okay, so now the Gemara says, yeah, 6 lines on the top. It's Sricha, why do I need both cases of the man making a shliach and doing it himself with the woman's son? So it says, the Yashmini Gabi Didei, if it would only say about the father, Mishum Gavra Kimle Biyuchsin, because a man checks into the Yichus, the genealogy of the family. Aval Itzad Lelei Kimle Biyuchsin. A woman is not knowledgeable in matters who's coming from whom and so on. Emalei and Neve Kedusha Kedushin. I would think that the Kedushin that she does herself is not valid. Because she really doesn't know, when she does Kedushin, she's not really into it to know that this is really the guy that I really should be marrying. V'iyash meaning Gabi Dido, and if it would say the din by her, I would think Mishum Itza Daikum Insida. Because a woman, when she... when she wants to make the shidduch, she's really going to check into who the guy is. Aval iyo, but by the case of the father. Eim aleich b'slei, maybe she doesn't care if the father does it or not. Okay? Sericha, we need both cases.
Exact opposite.
Correct. Yeah. If it would say her versus the father, would think she relies on the father. And the other one says, no, she wants to marry who she wants, not who the father wants.
If she's more medayik, then she does it herself.
So that's the question. In certain things, the father's more medayik, and certain things, she's more medayik.
But here, I'm going to go back to my question. Are we talking about an older woman?
Okay, well, no, a naira between two. The Gemara's going to talk about that later.
Because it says the father, and now bringing in the father.
The Gemara's going to talk about this soon. Are we talking about what age girl? Because a girl over 12 and a half, the father cannot do Kedushin for. Only under 12, only the father, 12 and 12 and a half, the father or the girl. And that's what the Gemara is going to be talking, Mamish now, who are we talking about over here?
Is this the case of Dad Nashim Kalot?
No. No. Okay, the Gemara says it, now we learned, Kitcha Avia Baderech. The father did Kedushin for her on the road, and she did Kedushin for herself and in the city later the same day. But Vadihi Begeris, now they checked her out and she found that she was a Begeris. Okay? Meaning the age of 12 and a half. Now, a Begeris, without getting into all the details, has certain physical maturity signs that make her a Begeris. So now the Gemara is going into it's very relevant in a lot of dina, mikveh, and other things, and how far we'll get into this today. The Gemara says like this. The father did Kedushin in the morning for her. She did Kedushin for herself in the afternoon. When they checked her in the afternoon, she became a Begeris. Or Begeris, depending on how you pronounce it. Okay? That means they proved that she'd been matured fully as an adult. The question is, in the morning, was she an adult or not?
She just became a Begeris.
But in the same day, do we say if she's now a Begeris, that means in the morning she also was a Begeris? Or do we say she only became a Begeris now? What's the difference? A Begeris, the father can't accept a Kedushin. Up to Begeris, the father can accept a Kedushin. After she becomes a Begeris, the father can't accept a Kedushin.
Do you check that?
They check. It's a certain simonim, no? Okay, now, the question is, if in the afternoon she was a Begeris, was she a Begeris in the morning or not? That's going to be the question. Because if she was a Begeris in the morning, the father's Kedushin is worthless. Because the father cannot do Kedushin for his 12 and a half year old girl.
But usually we don't break the day, like half a day. That day.
No, the question is, but here we're not talking about, it's not 13 years old. It's 12 and a half with a sign of maturity. The signs of maturity can come in the middle of the day.
Well, my nafkamina here. Either way,
like
she's...
What, she would have a period or something?
No, no. It's physical maturity, hair and certain things.
But there's no nafkamina here.
Sure there is.
If she was in the morning, so the father's Kiddushin is invalid, what she did is correct. And later on, if...
But if she was a night and the morning?
Then, but she did it at small. We just said it at
But if
small,
the father did her Kiddushin first in the morning for her?
Fine.
The Kiddushin is good, the father...
That means if in the morning she was a night, the father's Kiddushin was valid.
Okay, and she did it also later on in the day?
Not to the same guy. To a different guy.
Why don't we say hers takes precedence because of what we just said before?
But if the father accepted her Kedushin, the father doesn't need her permission.
Yeah.
Okay?
The time is an issue.
If the father accepted her Kedushin in the morning and she was not a Begeris yet, the father's Kedushin is valid whether she likes it or not. So then in the afternoon, granted she's a Begeris, but her Kedushin is invalid. She's already married. The question in the Gemara is now, and this Gemara is going to go in a lot of cases, do we go about what we find now, or do we assume it didn't start now, it started earlier?
What was started earlier?
That she was a Begeris.
But that's not so bad, because she can't get out of it, right? In the afternoon she can say, oh, I don't want this guy.
No, she can't.
No.
Did we learn that?
No. That's only if the mother or brother marry her off.
Oh.
He said, the Gemara is going to discuss also. You table things in a mikveh, okay? And 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you table things in the morning. I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about the time of the Bitsa Mikveh, yeah? 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he said, let's measure in the mikveh. And we see the mikveh is not 40 sa.
No, it has been all along or not.
So the question is now the mikveh not kosher? Or the mikveh wasn't kosher this morning either. In other words, let's say you measured the mikveh a week ago. Let's say you measured the mikveh a week ago, and it was good. Now, today you measure the mikveh, and you see it's missing. It's 39 and 3/4 sa. Okay? Do we say that last week we checked the mikveh was good, therefore, until we know differently, the mikveh is kosher? Or do we say no? Now the mikveh is no good. Maybe it wasn't good since the last week when you checked it. That meant it was good. But maybe anything after that is no good. Maybe then the mikveh became no good. This is what the Gemara is going to... It's a long elaboration. It's a very interesting Gemara.
Is there any way to know?
Well, it's a big nappy.
The question is, what do we... Do we go by the now? Do we go by the chazaka before?
Let's say you have... something with like kashrut.
No.
Like someone like it's assumed,
like to any market,
a certain places or a certain butcher or whatever it is.
And look, let me ask you. No, I'll give you.
That's the whole
issue. Yeah, that's the whole shaila. I'll give you another example. A year ago, you checked your tefillin. They were kosher. This year, you check your tefillin. God forbid, they're puzzle. From when on were they puzzle?
There's no way to know.
Halachically. Do you have to do tshuva of a whole year making a bracha in vain? Or today, you have to, it's not, now on. It's now it's puzzle. It's puzzle. But the Gemara is going to say another case later. We're not going to get there today. But the Gemara says another case later. There's a barrel that a guy used, from this barrel, he used to separate truma for his other wines. This was the barrel he used for separating. And one day he wakes up, he sees it's vinegar. Now you can't separate truma from vinegar for wine. Okay? Now the question is, when did it become vinegar? Halachically. Obviously, if you can check, you check. I'll give you another example, which is Nabuch in the Steingedach, but it's also a din in Torah. You know, a lot of times you have with the elderly, the neighbors don't see them for a while. You know, when they get suspicious, they call the cops. Yeah, the cops come into the house, break down the door, and they find the person passed away. Yeah? Halachically, when did the person die? Halachically, when did the person die? Now, what's the shaila? And all these things, there's a shaila like this. A person has a chazaka. You're alive until we're alive, right? So there's a chazaka that you're alive. Correct? When is the chazaka broken? When I know differently. Or to rephrase it by tefillin. Well, you checked your tefillin a half a year ago. Yeah? Am I allowed to put my tefillin on today with a bracha? How do I know they're kosher? They were checked a half a year ago. How do I know what happened in the last half a year? How can I make a bracha on tefillin? Why am I not afraid it's a bracha levatala? The answer is, because there's a chazaka that the tefillin were kosher. Because I had them checked a year ago, or whatever, and they said they're kosher, right? So there's a chazaka that the tefillin is kosher. Correct? Now, if there's a chazaka, until you prove against the chazaka, you assume the chazaka. Okay? A person is alive. You know they're alive. Yeah, one way of thinking about this, and we'll see in the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to go back and forth. As long as the person was alive, so they have a chazaka being alive, correct? Until I know differently, I assume they're alive. Correct? So therefore, if you come into an apartment and find a person dead, halachically, I'm not saying for sure, because we'll see in the Gemara, but there's a chazaka that the guy was alive. That means until you know for sure he's dead, the chazaka is that he's alive. See, one second. By a mikveh story that we've just discussed, you have a double problem over here. The mikveh had a chazaka that it was kosher. Correct? So maybe we can think, until you know the mikveh is no good, the mikveh is good. Correct? But the problem is, the object had a chazaka of being tamei. The object you tabled in the mikveh had a chazaka of being tamei.
Now you tabled it, not in the middle of the...
You tabled it 3 days ago.
Oh.
I measured the mikveh a week ago. It was good. A week later I measure it. It's no good. Right? Like what's with all the days in between? So over here you have a contradictory chazaka. You have a contradictory chazaka. Because from one side the mikveh has a chazaka of being kosher. Right? Because until we know differently, the mikveh is kosher. The problem is, the guy is tamei. So until you know for sure he's not tamei, then he has a chazaka of tamei. So which chazaka outweighs what?
Is that also a question?
The same thing, one sec, with this begedis over here. Okay, begedis, until now she had a chazaka of not being a begedis. Now the question is, now she became a begedis. What was until now? This is the whole discussion of the Gemara. As Gemara is going to go back and forth in different ways of Chazakis with Beigris, with this. You understand? But that's what the Gemara is saying.
But the Chazaka of being Bogeret is happened like a minute, or whatever. But Chazaka of not being Bogeret is like, being like 12 years. Is it stronger or not?
Not necessarily. The Gemara is going to change its mind a few times, of course. What?
So let's say you have in like a kedusha, in marriage, and a woman comes and says, "I'm a batula." So we believe her as a chazaka. Well, let's say she's not.
But a woman has a chazaka of being a psula.
Right.
The question is, rave ruba v'chazaka. If you have rave and against the chazaka, which one's stronger? That's a famous gemara b'abbas. Yeah, but over there it's a famous gemara b'abbas about that.